Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. It is 62 degrees, 510 here on this Wednesday, May 14th, 2025. Wednesday, yeah, go halfway through the week. We're almost done. We're on the downslope, you know, skidding down the slide. Hopefully it's not sunny out. It's not a metal slide, right? And you're not wearing shorts. You guys know what I'm talking about back in the day. Gee, Jake knows. He's smiling. You know exactly what I'm saying there. Come on. Yep. So we've been talking about this craziness in regards to the Medicaid scare of 2025. That's what we're going to call it, the Medicaid scare of 2025. Dan Crenshaw, representative from Texas, has been saying all that. Now, they've been in a 26-plus-hour hearing debating the HHS side of this, what they're calling the Big Beautiful Bill. And he promised early on that he would debunk a lot of the lies. And one of his staffers is taking clips from him, and it was just posted. So you know, I figure I play a little bit because it kind of puts everything we talked about in the first 2 hours in segments into, you know, kind of a collage of talking points. So we'll give that to you now.
Number one, Democrats say we're kicking poor people off Medicaid. Here's the reality. CBO numbers. 4.8 million of those numbers are from able-bodied adults choosing not to work. They're not being kicked off. They're being told to work or volunteer or look for work. That directly contradicts what was just said by Ms. Schreier, by the way. Here's another number. 1.6 million are duplicative enrollees who are enrolled in two states at the same time. Here's another number. 1.2 million individuals, they're not even eligible for coverage in the first place, just according to the laws that we have. Another 1.4 million people are illegal immigrants. That's not exactly the narrative they've been spinning, is it? Number two, Democrats say we're taking away substance abuse treatment. That is just false. This bill specifically exempts individuals with substance use disorders, full stop. Number three, Democrats say we're cutting Medicaid. Here's the reality. An actual analysis by CBO Medicaid baseline projection shows Medicaid spending will still grow by 6.5% above 2021 projections, even after this $800 billion in savings. So let me ask you, how can one honestly claim we're cutting a program that is actually still growing? Just intellectually. How can you claim that? Asking for a friend. Number four, Democrats say there aren't illegal aliens in Medicaid. Here's the reality. We know states are doing this. California uses a managed care organization tax scheme to shift costs to the federal government. That frees up about $5.2 billion in state funds. California then uses that money to pay for Medicaid coverage for illegal immigrants, skirting the federal ban. This bill closes the loophole by cutting federal funding by 10% for states that use Medicaid or other state-based programs to cover illegal immigrants. Vast majority of Americans would agree with that. Number five, Democrats say we're causing steep state budget cuts by changing provider tax and state-directed payment rules. Here's the reality. State-directed payments in Medicaid managed care arrangements have actually grown by about 62% between February 2023 and August of 2024. These payments do have a place in supporting our hospitals. Texas uses them to support our most needy. But you have to have common sense. You can't let them grow out of control and let them grow indefinitely. All we're doing is freezing the provider tax and state-directed payments. That's it. It's a freeze. This will preserve payments for hospitals that need them. So guess what? Again, no cuts. The sky is not falling. Look, in summary, this bill is nothing like Democrats claim. Nothing. It's past 3 a.m., and I've watched my colleagues make false statement after false statement for the sole purpose of scaring the most vulnerable in our society. Democrats have forced disabled Medicaid recipients to travel to D.C. and crowd the committee room for nothing but cynical political theater. And my message to all of you who are tricked into being here, guess what? Your Medicaid benefits aren't at risk under this bill. Full stop. They're using you, and they're lying to you.
Pretty straightforward on everything that we've talked about, huh? And those numbers are staggering. The numbers are literally staggering. And if I could go back, because I got a text message that I wanted to get on. Let me see if I can find it here. They're in healthcare. Here you go. Rob, I worked in healthcare and had patients who bragged about collecting Medicaid in Pennsylvania and New Jersey. It's more common than anyone could imagine. That's someone locally who worked in healthcare. Said they have patients bragging about collecting Medicaid in PA and New Jersey. It's more common than anyone can imagine. And the numbers there, what was it, 1.6 million dual enrollees on Medicaid rolls in two different states? It's against the law. Million people that don't even qualify for Medicaid, but because, you know, remember COVID, they kind of stretched the limits of things. Well, they're still on it. Remember they were all supposed to come off? Yeah, they didn't. 4.6 million able-bodied adults that are collecting Medicaid. Well, you're going to collect it. You're going to follow the rules. There's new rules now. It's an unsustainable program the way it's going. So, you know, it's interesting that we have, you know, our governor stoking fear. Politicians stoking fear. Unions and heads of nursing homes having rallies in Dunmore. Stoking fear, talking about cuts that they don't even know exist yet. Well, I haven't seen any cuts, but once I do, I'm gonna list them for each congressional district. That tells you right there what this is about. It's about politics. That's exactly what the governor said. He's talking about billions of dollars of cuts to Medicaid, and in the same breath said, well, I haven't seen any cuts yet, but once I do, I'm going to break them out into each congressional district so I could tell people exactly how they're affected. So you stated unequivocally that there's going to be billions of dollars in cuts. Then you said you haven't seen any cuts, but you're going to wait. And then you're going to break it out per congressional district, not for the state as a whole, not for regions, not for counties, but congressional district, because it's about politics. Listen, since this election, remember it was they're going to take your Social Security, Medicaid, and Medicare. That didn't fly. So then they went to veterans. Oh, the veterans, they're cutting VA benefits. Our veterans, they're cutting your nurses, your doctors. You're losing your care, veterans. And 100 days, never happened. Governor came on this very station and said that a whole bunch of nurses were laid off at the VA. I reached out to the secretary of the VA that day, got a statement from him saying that not a single nurse doing nursing duty was laid off. Matter of fact, they're exempt. Totally contradicting what the governor said that day from the secretary of the VA. And today he comes on talking about billions of dollars in cuts to Medicare and in the same breath says, I haven't seen the cuts yet. Well, what are you telling people about then? What are you talking about? And then goes into rural hospitals and how they'd be most affected. Yes, they are the ones most affected. But you fail to mention that in Trump's first term, they tried to fix that problem and Democrats sued. And then the Biden administration failed to pursue an appeal or pursue legislation on their own to fix that. And the Trump administration is now doing it again to try and get Congress involved so it cannot be challenged in the courts like it did under the Biden administration. Attempted to fix that funding problem for our rural hospitals, most of which we have here. It's about politics, and that's it. It's about politics. They realize that supporting MS-13 gang members and Trinidadian gang members who are here illegally committing crimes and domestic violence and everything else you could imagine wasn't a good look. Now it's all Medicare. Listen. There is a reason why that's all you're hearing now. It's also interesting you're not hearing those ads during the commercials anymore that were targeting our local congressmen. They don't know. They're guessing. Could. May. Those are the words you're hearing. But yet they will, and Congressman Crenshaw got it right there 100%. They are instilling fear, anxiety. Most likely greater medical issues for our most vulnerable. People caring for our most vulnerable. People who need these services to survive that aren't being cut, but they're being used and scared and terrified and tormented by politicians looking to position themselves for political reasons. If you want to come out and say, hey, I think illegal immigrants should be on Medicaid, 1.2 million of them, I think they should be. Well, at least say that. Well, I think 1.6 million people on Medicaid should be allowed to enroll in two separate states in disregarding the law. Well, then say that. How about coming in on the process and saying, okay, we're going to come in. We're going to make sure that we get those people in two states off. We're going to work with you to do it. We're going to make sure we get illegal immigrants who shouldn't be on Medicaid to begin with off. We're going to make sure able-bodied Americans are not on Medicaid if they don't need to be. We're going to work with you to do that. And in that process, we're going to make sure that these things are protected. Our elderly on disabilities, our nursing homes that depend on Medicaid, our disabled children. We're going to make sure that those aren't touched. But instead, they're running to microphones everywhere. They're running to social media, and they're just lying to you at this point. Because they even admit there's going to be cuts, but we haven't seen any yet. But when we do, we're going to let you know. But we started out by telling you there's going to be billions of dollars in cuts. They don't want to work with the process. They don't want to get involved with fixing a system that is broken. They want to position themselves for an election. And then if and when they eventually get back into power, not do a damn thing about it. Crazy how that works. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio 526 on this Wednesday, May 14th. Let me go to the phone now. We have Scott. How are you doing, Scott?
Hey, Rob. Just on Medicaid. I don't want to draw it out, but anyway, my comment is you're talking about people going cross state with this, and even people here in the area that are abusing it. Now, what I found in my experience in the last 20 years since I became disabled is that the providers are not always there for the best of, not always there for doing the good things for the people that actually need it.
They don't have the best intention for the program and for their patients.
Intention, thank you.
When we talk about fraud and mismanagement, that's on the provider's side as well.
Exactly. That's what I'm talking about. Mismanagement and discrimination in our local providers. I've been part of the health system for a while here in the area after I moved back here due to medical problems. But I did learn around this area is that they are very discriminant about who they provide service to. Now, that's changed since I first became disabled. Now I'm finding is that when you go into these places, the Medicaid office or the like community counseling services, whatever you want to call them, there are more un-Americans standing in line with their benefits, getting extra help, even more than I am and others. I'd like to see an audit, even of our Luzerne County social services. I know it's a mismanagement of money that's going on down there.
And you're someone who depends on the system, saying this, Scott.
Well, you use
the system. You know, it's part of your life, right?
Yeah, I don't qualify for my pension for another 10 years. I became disabled early. And I'm subject to these services. And I can tell you now, they're not fair. They'll take in non-English-speaking people ahead of other people.
Yeah. And there's more stories out there like you, which is probably one of the reasons why one side of the aisle doesn't want this looked into, doesn't want this audited, doesn't want these people coming off this plan. Because we all know what's out there. I know people that are abusing that system. You're seeing the system from the inside and its abuses. It's there.
Definitely. If you can't stand in line and speak English for your welfare, why the hell are you there?
There are American citizens who don't speak English for whatever reason or another. Ensure they are citizens. Let's ensure they are rightfully entitled to these programs. And that's all I'm asking.
Yes, I understand. I've been in those offices, and I have asked. And, I'll pick out one place, Community Counseling Service in Wilkes-Barre. They see nonstop illegals every day. They don't speak English, nothing. But they go down and they get welfare benefits, and which I don't care if taking care of the kids, but the parents are abusing it.
Yep.
And like the old story, you go out here and they rake leaves and cut lawns for cash while they're receiving this stuff. Because some old lady is willing to pay them $20 cash to do this. Well, then they run down and do it.
Yeah, I mean, that goes for plenty of services. I know plenty of people who are born and raised here who are on unemployment who do the same thing, you know, take money and cash on the side while they're collecting unemployment. Listen, these systems are abused. To say they're not, to say it's not the extent where it affects the program, well, there's a reason why all these programs are failing or strained, because they are being abused so much, because it's not a lack of money. Like the congressman that I played the clip from earlier said, more and more money continues to go into these programs. There's an increase. Nothing's being cut. We're just not growing it to the extent a lot of people would like it to.
I've been in the system all my life in the Social Security. That shouldn't be lacking for a man like me.
I agree. Scott,
actually, if they get rid of some of these people, I'm hoping my disability goes up.
Well, that's part of fixing. I don't think it'll ever go up, but part of fixing the problem is to make sure it's there for everybody who needs it. Scott, I appreciate your call.
Thank you, Rob.
Thank you. It is 5:31 here at WILK. Time for the news with Paul Michaels. Here with the Rob O'Donnell Show here on WILK News Radio. You got Jake spinning the tunes in the back. Good choices today, Jake, as always. So a judge ruling has made Lyle and Eric Menendez eligible for parole, but they still face multiple hurdles in their fight to be released from prison nearly three decades after they were convicted of murdering their parents in 1989. A Los Angeles County Superior Court judge reduced the brothers' sentences from life without parole to 50 years to life yesterday, on Tuesday, making them eligible for parole under California's youthful offender law, the law that gives people convicted of crimes committed under the age of 26 the opportunity to be considered for release if they have shown that they've matured and been rehabilitated. Now, before we get on to that, California's youthful offender law, those under the age of 26, we're seeing 12-year-olds commit violent crime. But yet in California, you're a youthful offender if you're under the age of 26. Well, under this new change, the 50 years to life and the fact that they have served many decades in prison, the brothers could present their case before the parole board as soon as next month. That's because they already had a hearing before the board scheduled for June 13th in a clemency petition they had submitted to Governor Gavin Newsom. It's likely the June appearance will also serve as their first formal parole hearing, according to a Los Angeles trial attorney who is not involved in the Menendez case but has tracked it. If parole is granted, it would be up to the governor to approve or deny it. Well, here's the conundrum here. Does the governor want to get involved in this? Does he want his handprints on this? In any way whatsoever. I mean, I wouldn't. He obviously has higher aspirations, the governor of California, current Governor Gavin Newsom. Does he really want this to be? I mean, there is definitely a clientele across America that will applaud him and support him for doing this. But would he have them anyway? And that's up to the parole board, too. The parole board would have to do it, but they are now immediately eligible to go before the parole board, and their meeting is already scheduled. So will they see freedom? The biggest part of this whole thing is that in California's youthful offender law is under the age of 26. That in itself is a travesty, and that's a bigger story here than their fiasco of what's gone on with them in their case and what they did to their parents. And if you read through that story, if you go back and you know, do a short Wikipedia on that and what they did and how they got caught, they probably would have walked away scot-free if they weren't out partying and celebrating. That's the bottom line. That's the cliff notes to this entire thing. So interesting, but we'll see what happens. I'm sure it'll be in the news. Let me tell you about the Good Feet store located right here in Scranton on the corner of Route 6 and Commerce Boulevard across from the Olive Garden. I have depended on these Good Feet art supports for the past 2 years. They have done wonders for me, and that's all I can tell you. Listen, I can be honest with you. And if you don't believe me, if you see me out and about, you want to see my Good Feet art supports, I'll slip off my shoes and pop them right out and show them to you. Show you what they look like, show you how easy it is to get them in and out, switch them from the different shoes you're wearing. Now, there's different levels of art supports depending on what the expert's there when you go in for your free test walk. Will do for you. I have all three levels. I have the trainers, which is basically training your arch, your muscles, your ligaments to walk the proper way. And this is after they do a footprint of your foot to let you know what exactly you need there. Some of the things I like, they're proudly made in the USA, so I always feel good when I could say that. Check them out at 1945 Commerce Boulevard in Scranton. You can call them at 570-534-0980. Check them out online at goodfeet.com. And again, you know, I've put them in 2 years ago, and I haven't looked back since. And if I forget for some reason to put them in my shoes I'm wearing, you pay the price dearly, which just goes to me, shows me that they are, in fact, working and working very well. So check them out. Tell them I sent you, because you're not going anywhere without Good Feet. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show as we start to wind things down here on this Wednesday, May 14th, 2025. Let's go to the phone now. We have Donald from Pittston on Cuts. Donald, have you converted to Republican yet?
I'm a centrist. I'm a right-leaning centrist. I'll always be a centrist. But they're doing this thing with these cuts that don't exist. See, it's working for them, their strategy. It worked in Iowa, Lancaster, now in Nebraska. See, a lot of people, they want Social Security. I'll give an example. This guy, this Mike Lindell, he was worth over $500 million since he got into politics in 10 years. He's living on less than $1,000 a week. All he has left is his Social Security, said. And he owes the IRS millions and Fox News millions in advertising, $1.3 billion lawsuit with Dominion. So people relate. They want Social Security. They don't want that safety, that cut. And apparently, it's going to be sad for the midterms if we don't commit what they're saying, like you said it, and because they're only going to impeach Trump anyway once they get in power. You know that, and I think that's a bad thing. I think.
They already issued impeachment today. That one congressman, yeah. But he's got no support. He's got no support at all.
Yeah, I don't. See, that's the thing. People are they want a social safety net, but they don't want it. They want a trampoline, but not a hammock. You know what I mean? They don't want everybody in it and, you know, using up their benefits like illegals and stuff. But if you could make that point, but every day they go out there, he's making cuts and this cuts and that cuts. But if you read the legislation like me and you do, you don't really see the cuts. What they're doing is just maybe laying off the people that Biden hired before he got in there. In all honesty, I just want to be fair about it. What do you think?
Well, why do you think so many on that side aren't reading the details, aren't diving into it for themselves to be better informed?
No, the Republican side or Democrat?
On the Democrat side. Why are they just going with the talking points?
It's all politics, like you said. This was going on for the longest time, even under with they were closing nursing homes down 2 years ago. We know that, even with the COVID. This was going on. I never mentioned it. Now, see, they have nothing to go on. Nobody wants their, you know, had the other day at the rally, they put a Palestinian flag over the American flag and were stamping on it, that oligarchy rally. Nobody really wants the Democrats. All they have left now is to say, you know, the safety net, they're going to take your Social Security and Medicare. Because culturally, they're nobody wants something, you know, don't believe in their ideology, men and women's sports. It's so unpopular. But the safety net, their strongest thing is Social Security, you know, these safety net programs that the people do need and want. It could happen. And we just saw it happen to this Mike Lindell.
I beg to differ there, Donald, because the only woman on Scranton City Council does want transgenders in women's sports, does want men competing in women's sports, does want men going into the girls' bathroom.
I don't know how she got on. I think because there's a doctor in front of her name. They're just not even looking at the candidate, what they think. They're just voting maybe on, like, they see someone with a doctor in front of their name. They just, you know, fill in the dot or whatever.
Well, if you can't tell the difference between a man and a woman, maybe you shouldn't have doctor in front of your name. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, really. I mean, gender deniers, I call them. They say election deniers. I say gender deniers. I don't understand that. I just think people just vote maybe like they see if Kennedy out there or anybody, someone with an Irish name is Scranton or doctor. They just figure, oh, this person knows what they're doing, and they fill in the blank. But hopefully we can get some new people in there. So just common sense people. I don't care who we are. It's just someone with common sense and in normalcy, what's best for our country and our kids and everybody else.
I'll take common sense. I'll take common sense.
Yeah,
it's Donald, it's good to have you on the other side of the fence for at least the next couple of years.
No, it's just common sense. You look at it, it's common sense. It's two genders. What's there to decide? You know, you don't operate on kids. And you don't you don't burn flags. That's crazy stuff. We got country and good government. That's what we were founded on, and that's let's keep it that way. Why change something that works?
I hear you. Donald, thanks for checking in.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. And the texters are coming in. Somebody says, yeah, Rob, too high profile of a case for the parole board. That's talking about the Menendez brothers. And no one will take a risk on them. Yeah, we'll see. Jake, we got some text messages. I guess the NFL schedule's coming out tonight.
Well, 8 o'clock, it'll be out in its entirety.
In its entirety. Are we expecting any surprises? Are we expecting anything? You know, the text messages are demanding that I get the expert in on here. That's exact. Where's Jake?
There's so many different avenues to go down, and I think just some of the big ones to start all off with. Of course, the kickoff game Thursday night, September 4th. You have the Philadelphia Eagles. They're going to be celebrating their Super Bowl championship and unveiling the banner, and they're going to be doing all of this against the Dallas Cowboys.
Well, are they going to be working the schedule around the Kelsey wedding?
There has to be the Kelsey
Swift wedding,
because Kansas City already there. So week one, they will be playing that Friday night in Brazil against the Chargers. Then week two is the Super Bowl rematch at Arrowhead against Philadelphia. Week three, a Sunday night game in New York against the Giants, or in New Jersey, excuse me. They also have a Monday night game against the Jacksonville Jaguars. They have a Sunday night game against the Detroit Lions. They have tons of primetime games, but specifically, they will be playing the Dallas Cowboys on Thanksgiving, 4:30 on CBS, and it's safe to say, ratings-wise, for a regular season game, but especially for a Thanksgiving game, you have obviously this Taylor Swift phenomenon, if it's still going to be going on at this point, going up against Dallas, who is, they generate headlines, good, bad, or indifferent. So I can only imagine the record ratings that there's going to be for Thanksgiving when those two go head-to-head. And as far as Thanksgiving goes, so that's 4:30 on CBS, 1 o'clock on Fox. Detroit Lions, of course, they always host the early game on Thanksgiving. They're going up against Green Bay. And then the night game, 8:20 on NBC, it's the Baltimore Ravens and the Cincinnati Bengals. So
I was going to say, yeah, are they going to be on regular channels or regular networks, or are they going pay-per-view again? Or well, not pay-per-view, but a streaming service.
Well, I'm glad that you mentioned that, because the Brazil game is going to be on... It's going to be on YouTube and YouTube TV. That's the only way that you're going to be able to get it. And then, and as far as the international stuff goes, they're just going overkill on it, if you ask me. So week four will be the first ever NFL game in Ireland between the Minnesota Vikings and the Pittsburgh Steelers. And then the week after that, the Vikings will be in London against the Cleveland Browns. That's the first time ever that you're going to have an NFL team play back-to-back weeks in two different international countries. And then, of course, you have Broncos and Jets, Rams, Jaguars. Those are some of the London games. Week 10, which is November 9th, you'll have the Atlanta Falcons and the Indianapolis Colts in Germany. And then the week after that, it's the Washington Commanders and the Miami Dolphins, the first ever NFL game in Spain. And it's only going to go from here, because Roger Goodell said come 2026 that the Los Angeles Rams, that they're going to have a game down in Australia.
What do you think the push is for all these international games?
I mean, obviously, just trying to broaden the fan base. I mean, the NFL is the most popular sport in the world. There's no doubt in my mind. And I think that you're just I just think they're trying to branch out to as many countries as possible.
Yeah, but time zone wise, you really, because I mean, you're having a game in Europe. It's really not watchable in the U.S. U.S. games are not watchable in a lot of places in the world.
It's 9:30 in the morning, our time, when Ireland, London, Germany, and the game in Spain as well, I believe, when all these are going to kick off, 9:30 in the morning, our time, but also.
Well, it's sort of like West Coast games.
Well, I was going to say, West Coast, when you think of that, that's 6:30 in the morning their time. So that's really, really early.
I mean, my buddy who used to live in San Diego, who now lives here, I mean, they used to get up at 8 o'clock in the morning to watch the 9 o'clock game. And they used to watch, you know, the 12 o'clock game or the 3 o'clock was the late game. So they're by 6 o'clock, football's done for them, and they're on with their day, their dinner, or whatever else.
Yeah. Yeah, it's gone overkill because Roger Goodell said as come 2026, there could be as many as 16 international games. I can't
that.
Comprehend that. And then I heard in 2027, there's a possibility that the 49ers might have a game over in the Middle East.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, they've gone overkill on the international games, if you ask me.
I don't like them.
Do we see an international team possibly joining the league?
I keep hearing London.
Jacksonville Jaguars. Has to be. They've been going over there for how long now?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you move Jacksonville to London?
I mean, just think of the cost on the team, because, I mean, most of their games would be here. I mean, regardless if it's a foreign team or not. It'd be interesting.
Does it make logical sense?
That's going to be a hell of a stretch for Minnesota. Like I talked about, Ireland 1 week and then London the next week. And rightfully so, their bye week is going to be right after that.
Right.
Yeah.
I question the Mexico City move, too.
There isn't a Mexico game this year, but there probably will be again in 26.
Because they kept going back to that, and I'm surprised they didn't go back to that the watering hole this time. Because I tell you what, not to make this about the Steelers, but there are a ton of Steelers fans down there. Like, it's obviously the people like football down there, but I kept hearing about, they're going to expand to Mexico City. It doesn't make logical sense.
The turf in
my son played in Mexico City when he was at the Naval Academy. They played a game down there. And
really?
Mexico City, height-wise, makes Mile High Stadium look sea level.
That's what I heard.
So there's a big problem there because they played the Mexican Military Academy when they were, as a preseason game, they went down there. And it was great. They treated them, but there is definitely, I know spectators, family members who went down who had issues with the altitude there.
It's ridiculous.
NASCAR is going to have that June 15th, their first ever race in Mexico.
Mexico City?
Yeah.
That's going to change the way those cars run because there's a different air oxygen mix for sure.
Engine-wise, too.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. All right. Well, it's 5:57 here at WILK. We'll be back. Well, we got the NEPA Premium Perks. Enjoy this half-off deal for K-Pot, Korean Barbecue, and Hot Pot. Get a $30 gift certificate for only $15. Traditional Asian Hot Pot and Korean Barbecue flavors. All-you-can-eat lunch and dinner for one price. Located between JCPenney and Macy's in the Wyoming Valley Mall in Wilkes-Barre. For dinner, enjoy ribeyes, New York strip steaks, seafood, and Korean specialties for one amazing price. You can go check that out at visitgetmyperks.com for all the details. That's pretty much it for the Rob O'Donnell Show today on this Wednesday, May 14th, 2025. We crammed a lot in today. And a lot of those clips, a lot of the information about Medicaid, you can find that on my Facebook. It's really in-depth and detail. It's a long post because I put as much detail in there as possible. So when your friends throw at you, they're trying to cut Medicaid or rural hospitals are going to suffer the most, you could hit them with the facts because that's where you get the facts. Share it too. Put it on your Facebook. They love when you do that. They go, that guy again. He's giving the facts. We don't like that. We'll check you out tomorrow. God bless. Be safe. See you then.